Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization that is dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible to everyone. Alhamdulillah, Qalam has been able to serve so many people all across the world in so many ways. And now, Qalam has the opportunity and the ability to take its work to the next level. Qalam now has the ability to expand its offerings to people all across the world in so many different ways. Qalam is acquiring a campus, a home, where we can continue to do the work that we do and in fact increase what we do. But we need your help, we need your support to make that dream a reality. Go to QalamCampus.com and donate generously. Every single person listening to this podcast, benefiting from Qalam, I need you to go there and donate and share that link far and wide. And let's all of us come together, invest into our sadaqah jariyah, and take this work to the next level. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Now enjoy the podcast.
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. We good? All right. Bismillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma akfina bihalalika an haramik wa agnina bifadlik amman siwak ya wasi al-maghfira. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak. وحب من يحبك وحب عملا يقربنا الى حبك يا ارحم الراحمين. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا تجعل الدنيا اكبر همنا. Oh Allah, do not make this world our biggest concern, ya Allah. Ya Allah, do not make this world our biggest concern. Before we begin, I just want to say something. When things are going bad, they're never as bad as they seem. Allah's mercy is always there. When things are going bad, they're never as bad as they seem. You have to remember that. I don't know who needed to hear that, but somebody needed to hear that. And maybe I'm just speaking to myself here. But whenever things are going bad, they're not as bad as they seem. And whenever they're going really good, they're not as good as they seem too. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the strength to get through difficult times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the strength to get through difficult times and make us people who are grateful in the times of ease and grateful in the times of difficulty as well. That's all we can do, is be grateful in both. Alhamdulillah. So this is our 12th class. We're reading the book of Imam Muhasibi, Risalat al-Mustarshidin. Imam Muhasibi is a early scholar from our tradition. Second, third century scholar. So this is a classical text. And he's just dropping gems of knowledge for us to reflect upon. And pardon me for my voice today. So we're gonna have to, whatever I can do, inshallah. Last week, we talked about being truthful and the importance of siddiq, or being true. And I said that we live in a time where everything is based on appearances. And people don't care about the inner realities anymore. The inner realities of being a human, of being a Muslim. Those things aren't really focused on anymore. As long as the filter is good, I'm good to go. No one else can see what's under that filter. But when we talked about truthfulness last week, we were talking about truthfulness is when the external and the internal match up. And that's what we strive to do. And what we said last week was really deep. We said that if you intentionally have an internal state and you intentionally make the external look different, that's called riya, or showing off, like ostentation. But if it's just not matching up because you haven't quite worked on it enough, then that's called kidhib, and that's where we need to work and make sure the inner reality matches the external reality. The inner reality matches the external reality. And the last thing I said last week, and I'm just gonna reiterate this and then we'll go into today's lesson. When we look in the mirror every day, the Prophet taught us a dua, and that dua is very powerful. The dua is, Allahumma, there's different ways to say it, but Allahumma, kama hasanta khalqi fa hasan khuluqi. Oh Allah, just as you have made my external beautiful, and every one of us looks in the mirror and we like, you know, we read the dua and we like, yes, Prophet spoke the truth. You know what I mean? Sadaqa Rasulullah. Like my man here, mashallah. Beautiful. But the Prophet ﷺ told us, when you read that dua and you see your beautiful form, immediately shift your intent, your focus, and look deeper behind that form and ask yourself, is the inner reality as beautiful as the external reality? And the truth be told, a lot of us is like sheep in wolf's, what is it? Wolf in sheep's clothing? The internal is like a wolf. And external, we like, Saikh. May Allah make us pure. May Allah clean our hearts, inshallah. So today we move on. And let's listen to what the Imam says. He says, Bismillah. Qala Abdullah ibn Abbas. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, La tatakallam fi ma la ya'nika. Wada' kathiran min ma ya'nika. He says that Ibn Abbas used to say, these are five advices of Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas, the great mufassir of the Quran, the great translator of the Quran. There are five golden advices of Ibn Abbas. The first advice is, La tatakallam, do not speak, fi ma la ya'nika, in affairs that don't concern you. In affairs that don't concern you. Now, this word ya'nika is really interesting because there's a hadith, which is one of the four hadith. I think it was Imam Abu Dawood. He said that there are four hadith out of all of the thousands and thousands of hadith. There are thousands of hadith, but there are four hadith. If you know these four hadith, you got everything you need from the sunnah. One of those hadith is this hadith I'm going to tell you right now. And when I learned this hadith, it completely changed how I looked at life and the burdens that I allow to be on my shoulders. Listen to this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, and Abu Huraira narrates, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, min husni islamin mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi. Min husni islamin mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi. One of the most beautifying elements of one's Islam. What this means is your Islam can be very beautiful or it can be pretty ugly. You got the core, you a Muslim. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, Muslim. But the Prophet ﷺ says, no, that's not enough. Your Islam can be extremely beautiful or it can be just at the base. Now, in Islam, we have this concept. I'm gonna go a little like fiqh on y'all. Can we go a little fiqh? Little fiqh, little bit? Okay, so in Islamic jurisprudence, we have these three categories. It's called dhururiyat, hajat, and tahsinat. Dhururiyat are things that min duniha, if we don't have them, halak al insan. Like you can't live. Food, shelter, clothing, things like this. These are called dhururiyat. Y'all with me? Dhururiyat. Then after that, we have these things called hajat. Hajat are like things biduniha al hayat mushakka. Like if you don't have them, life is just hard. It's a little difficult. You know what I mean? Life is just a little difficult. But, you know, you ain't got a car in DFW. Well, that's probably dhururiyat. You can't get nowhere here without no car. You know what I mean? But you get my point. And the third category, this is very important. The third category is called tahsinat. Now, normally scholars give this beautiful example. It's like, imagine you're building a house. The dhururiyat are like the pillars and like the roof. The hajat are like, I don't know. Y'all live really nice lives. So what's the dhururiyat? Like the, you know, the walls, maybe the doors, the walls. You could live there, but life would be pretty hard. And then you got tahsinat. That's that nice coffee maker espresso you got, pulling those nice shots, bringing that microwave. You don't need a microwave, do you? You do?
I eat hot pockets.
Oh my God, dang. Brother, you need to get married, man. Come on. So why am I saying this? The hadith said, min husni islamin mar'i. We're talking about tahsinat. When you raise your Islam up a level, see, remember, when we build a house, we don't focus on dhururiyat. If you got married to a wifey and she's like, how's the house? You're like, yo, we got the walls and we got the roof. She'd be like, peace, I'm out. Right? Dhururiyat is not enough. you want hajat. And even then you can be like, no, we got tahsinat, right? Are y'all following me? So in our Islam now, that whole example of the house, I want you to equate that to Islam. The Prophet is saying, your Islam has dururiyat, basics, hajat, a little higher than basics, but it has tahsinat as well, the things that just make it beautiful. Now, what are some of the things that make Islam beautiful? This hadith says something. This hadith that I just said to you, the Prophet said, one of the things that will make you as a Muslim, the most beautiful Muslim, tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, that you learn how to give up things that don't concern you. You learn, this is a deep hadith. You know, it happened to me, I'll be real, it happened to me today, right? So we were coming out of a meeting. I can't be too specific, but we were coming out of a meeting and two teachers were talking, but I had been studying this. So, you know, just when you study, it's like fresh, you know, you're feeling it. So two teachers are talking and in my head, I was like, I wonder what they're talking about. For real. But then I was like, min husni islam min mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. That ain't got nothing to do with me. That's none of my business. It has nothing to do with me. And here's the problem. Oh, what's so bad about getting involved in things that don't concern you? Well, Stephen Covey has a very interesting perspective in the Seven Habits. Y'all know Seven Habits, right? Come on, man. That's a masterpiece book, yo. Sheikh Hamza Yusuf calls it Seven Habits of Highly Effective Muslims. Because it's good stuff. So Hamza Yusuf says this is pretty deep. Oh, Stephen Covey says this. He says every one of us has a circle of concern and a circle of influence. So what's a circle of concern? Now, this is tough. For everyone is different. So don't look to your left and right. Your circle of concern are things that you're worried about in this world, but you can't really change them. You can't really change them. But then you have a circle of influence. Now, it's so different in this age of social media, but just bear with me. You have a circle of influence. Stephen Covey says your circle of influence are the things that you can directly affect. Like my man Qasim over there, my son, my daughter Madia. Those are things directly, right? Like that's, I have not only concern, but I can influence. He says that very unproductive people spend the majority of their time in the circle of concern, not in the circle of influence. You feel me? They're worrying about things they can't change. They have nothing to do with them directly. They have no influence on them. But we're going to talk about it all day. Right? But then he says people that spend their time in the circle of influence, things that they can directly change, not only are they more productive, but this is the craziest part. The circle of influence grows. The circle of influence grows. So you actually start to reach out to further things that were in your concern. Now you have the ability to actually influence those things. I think that's groundbreaking. So one of the things we realize is when you stop worrying about things that don't concern you, there's a theme that we've been talking about in this halaqah. It's called mental real estate. Mental real estate. We don't have an infinite amount of brain power. There's only a certain number of things I can focus on in a day. So it's very, very important that you, as the Prophet ﷺ said, احفظ الرأس وما وعى, protect the brain and what's inside of it. So what we're saying is mental real estate. When I was leaving that meeting and those two teachers were talking, and the little shaitan in me was like, I wonder what they're talking about. Right away, alhamdulillah, this hadith was like, in husni Islam and mar'i, make your Islam beautiful. You got stuff to read. You got stuff to study. You prepare for your halaqah tonight, whatever. What are you doing? So the main thing I want you to realize is all of that energy you're putting to those things that don't concern you directly. Now you have to be the judge what concerns you. The video's not working? YouTube? It froze? It's working here. Yeah, it's working here. I don't know. Wallahu alam. Okay. It's all good. Thank you, though. Thank you. Circle of concern, right? No, I'm just joking. That was influence right there. Okay. Yo, check it out, inshallah. Okay, we checking it. I was just trolling you, man. My bad. I don't even mean it. Yo, we're good. We're good now. It worked. Okay, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I lost my train of thought. It's all good. Okay, so Hassan Basri, he says, Hassan Basri, listen to what he says. وَمِنْ عَلَامَاتِ إِعْرَاضِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ عَنِ الْعَبْدِ. A sign that Allah has turned away from a servant. Now that's a dangerous thing. A sign that God has turned away from you. Hassan Basri, he says, أَنْ يَجْعَلَ شُغْلَهُ فِي مَا لَا يَعْنِهِ. That Allah makes your whole shughl. What is shughl? Your work, your business. All you're worried about is things that don't concern you whatsoever. Now what you need to do is actually do this assessment. It's like, what really concerns me? And honestly, it's your akhirah and your dunya. Your family, immediate family, your relationship with Allah, your job maybe, your school, whatever those things. Everyone in this room has different things. But the point is, you need to be careful where you're letting your mind get involved in. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ taught in this hadith. Remember this hadith. I'm going to say it one more time and we'll move forward. Min husni islam al mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. You know where it really hit me at though? I was coming up the George Bush joint and I had this bad habit, man. Like, my wife calls me nosy, right? But like, I always look in the next car. You know what I mean? I don't know why. I don't know, man. And that's a bad habit because it shows that I'm thinking about people too much. So alhamdulillah, I was just going over this hadith and I'm driving. I'm like, yeah, I don't even care about you, yo. Keep going. I got to worry about my own stuff. So it's just something to reflect on, that we focus on ourselves.
When it comes to that mindset that you're dealing with people who are concerned with you, or are you getting to that?
No, go ahead.
How do you respond to when that's happening to you? Like, people are concerned with you.
Yeah, and you're like, this ain't your business. You want to read this hadith. So basically, it's for those who couldn't hear. For those who couldn't hear, she basically was like, well, what if I'm on the receiving end of that, right? This person apparently didn't come to the halakha on the 12th night, the 12th class. So he or she didn't hear that. And now they're all up in your stuff. Like, hey, how's everything at home going? Tell me more. Tell me this. And you're like, yo, back up. I think we just need to build boundaries with people. I think we just need to set boundaries with people. And I think some people get the message, but if they don't, then you just have to be like, Jazakallah, keep it brief with them. Keep it short, right? That's it. Wallahu a'lam. Oh, let's translate the hadith one more time. The Prophet ﷺ said, a beautifying aspect of a person's Islam. That's deep. Like, yo, my Islam can be beautiful. Tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. I don't get involved in things that don't concern you. Things that don't concern you. It's a deep hadith. Let's go forward. So Ibn Abbas said, back to the book, لَا تَتَكَلَّمْ فِي مَا لَا يَعْنِيكَ. Don't speak about things that don't concern you. وَدَعْ كَثِيرًا مِنْ مَا يَعْنِيكَ. So he says, and actually, a lot of things that do concern you, don't speak right away. Wait for the right moment to speak on them. وَلَا تُمَارِسَ فِيهَنْ. And don't argue with a fool. وَلَا حَلِيمًا. And don't argue with a forbearing person. I always remember, man, my dad, you know, alhamdulillah. You know, if you're a father, up and coming father, man, yo, children remember the lessons that you give them. You know what I'm saying? Makari, you know what I mean? So this one thing, my father, he told me this. I just remember it, man. I know he's not watching. So may Allah guide him, inshallah. Make dua. He said, son, don't argue with a fool. Because the people watching don't know who the fool is. Bars, yo. Bars. So look what Ibn Abbas says. وَلَا تُمَارِ سَفِيهًا. Don't argue with a fool. وَلَا حَلِيمًا. And don't argue with a forbearing person, because then you're the fool. You're the fool. You're arguing with a person with forbearance. What are you doing? وَذْكُرْ أَخَاكَ. And remember, speak about your brother or sister. بِمَا تُحِبُّ أَن تُذْكَرَكَ بِهِ. Speak about them in the way that you want them to speak about you in your absence. We talked about backbiting, and I'm not going to go too deep into it because I want to get further on this. Remember this. Anyone, I've said this a dozen times, anyone who backbites to you about someone will backbite about you to someone. You are just an outlet for the backbiting. You will be the object of their backbiting later. You just know that. When that person's just backbiting with you, just realize, like, that's who they are. The same thing you're enjoying, you're like, dang, really? Wow, tell me more. That same person will do the same thing about you to someone else. So that, why do I say that? You know how sometimes we're shy to be like, yo, bro, can you stop? When you think about this, it may help you. It may help you, like, yo, chill, chill. I'm good. So I had this classmate. I had this classmate who I studied with for like 8 years in Dar Ulum, right? And he was a simple guy, really simple. But for seven years. For the 7 years we studied together, I'm pointing to my wife, all right? I'm pointing to my wife. There's an inside joke there. For the 7 years we studied, I'll tell you the inside joke. You want to know an inside joke? She says, whenever you tell the years you studied, you always like be adding one or two numbers. She called me out. Wife, you called me out. I was like, you know, you're right. My bad. You know how the fish just keeps getting bigger and bigger? Every khutbah, you're like, dang, how many years did he study, yo? Like, I thought it was seven. Now it's 10. What happened, Sheikh? Like, did you just teleport back? SubhanAllah. So that's why I was pointing to my wife. So I studied with him for 7 years. Legit seven, okay? And he had a very interesting habit. There's only like 12 of us in the class. It's a small classroom. Whenever someone would start backbiting, I told y'all this before, he would make noise just like, yo, yeah, you know, like, you know how brothers be, right? The brothers understand what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? You get it? Sister's like, what are you talking about? He would just make noise, like just kind of disturb the flow. Do you get it? So he couldn't hear it. And then we all understood after like 6 months, you get what he's doing. So you get the point. He's like, oh, yo, we backbiting again. And he didn't have to say nothing. So we never backbit around him. Because he was just that element that's like, no, I can't have this. I don't got deeds to give away. I don't have deeds. You guys realize on the day of judgment, people you backbite, I don't care if they did what you're talking about. On the day of judgment, they're in line like, I'm next. I need some of those hasanat. Aisha was backbiting me. I need some of those, ya Allah. I don't got deeds to give away. Somebody wrote a letter to Ahmed bin Hanbal, I believe. And they're like, we heard you were backbiting us. Ahmed bin Hanbal wrote a letter back. He said, I don't love you that much. See the perspective? It's like, in the letter, he said, if I was to backbite anyone, I'd backbite my mother. I'd never backbite you. I don't love you that much. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. When I became Muslim, backbiting was one of the most, I wouldn't say I became Muslim because of the rulings of backbiting, but it was just like, oh my God, you guys don't talk about one another? Oh my, yes, Yasin looked at me like, come on, bro. No, I'm serious though. When I first became Muslim and I learned about backbiting, I'm like, oh my God, these Muslims are amazing. A few months later, like, okay. What happened to that rule, guys? But it is actually a very beautiful rule if you can live by it. It's beautiful. Work on it. Try. I know sometimes you got to get stuff off your chest. I don't have a solution for that. Wallahu alam. But don't give your deeds away. Don't give your deeds away. Alhamdulillah. Let's go forward. Wa'amal amala rajulin. Remember, the way he gives advice, every advice is kind of separated from the other one. وَعْمَلْ عَمَلَ رَجُلٍ. Do actions like a person who knows أَنَّهُ مُجَازًا بِالْإِحْسَانِ. Do actions like a person who knows that they're going to get a reward. The word he uses is إِحْسَان. So the word إِحْسَان is like when you give more than what was what is deserved, right? When you give more than what is deserved. So let me break this down. In Islam, three levels. I'm giving another fiqh lesson here. You have dhulm. Dhulm is when you don't give someone their right. Okay? So like, let's give a vulgar example, right? Someone smacks you, right? And they hit you. And then you just beat the person down. Bam, right? That's dhulm. Adl. Next level up is called adl. What's adl mean? Justice. Right? Adl. He smack you, smack him back. Assalamu alaikum, I'm out. We good. Yawm al-Qiyamah will be good. I don't know you, you don't know me. Right? But then Islam teaches, no. That's not where we want to be. Justice. No. Islam, it's not about justice. We go up a level higher. It's called ihsan. What is ihsan? You with me? You with me? You smack me. And I'm serving you. I'm helping you. What more do you need? And you know where this comes into play? Elderly parents, I'm gonna come to that. Beautiful. Elderly parents, cousins, siblings.
Everybody was like, siblings. Now you getting hit back, bro.
No, but seriously, do you understand what I'm saying? Ihsan is like, no, you do wrong to me. I don't change myself because of you. I don't think y'all got that. You do wrong to me. So now I do wrong? I'm good. I will do good rather you do good or you do bad. I'm principled. So ihsan, this level of ihsan, it means you get more than what you deserve or above what you did. So look what he says. When you do actions for the sake of God, for the sake of Allah, in the back of your mind, you know that the one rewarding me is doing ihsan. Like, I did this little prayer, but what will Allah give me for that? You know, man, my kids is here. I'm gonna just say it, man. They growing, it's all good. You know, one of my teachers, he said this. He said sometimes, a child, you so with like a taswira. You saw what look at taswir. Sorry guys, my children are here. No? There's no other way to say it. Okay. Sometimes they make something for you, right? And it's nothing like what they set out to make, right? No, seriously, you feel me? But the way you love it so much. You truly, truly love it. Maria, I truly love it. You truly love it, seriously. But why do you love it? Because it actually looks like a tree or a car or a dolphin or some weird other animal? Do you love it because it actually is a Picasso? No. You love it because they did it for you out of love, right? So one of my teachers, he said, we don't compare it to Allah, but it's similar. Our prayer, come on, man. Where was our mind at in the prayer? Come on. Was that a prayer like Abu Bakr? Was that a prayer like Umar? Was that a prayer like the Prophet? Wasn't our mind all over the place? But did we love Allah? Yeah, we loved Allah. Do we want Allah to accept it? Just the way we go up to Baba, Baba, look what I made. And Baba says, yeah, come on, give me this. This is beautiful. Tell me what it is. He said, we can't compare it to Allah, but you get the example, right? So realize when you do actions, Allah loves you. Allah loves what you're trying to do. And Allah will reward you based on what you were trying to draw, not on what you actually drew. And that's all we can hope for, because my ibadah sucks straight up. But all we can hope is that Allah accepts it from us because we love Him. That's it. We love Him. So He says, do actions like a person who knows that they'll be rewarded with ihsan. Ihsan being given more than they deserve. You should never leave a prayer like feeling as if like, no, Allah loves me. If He didn't love you, you wouldn't even got the ability to pray that prayer. Wait, hold up. If He didn't love you, He would not have given you the ability to pray that prayer. That's a gift from Allah, man. That sajda, that's special. Everyone don't get sajdas in this world, man. You know how special a sajda is? Surah Haqqa says on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will yukshafu an saqin wa yud'auna ila sujudi. Allah says that Allah will reveal His splendor on the day of judgment, and everyone will be called to prostrate. But guess what? Everyone won't be able to prostrate. Only those who prostrated in this world will be able to prostrate. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, everyone else, their back will become like one plank. Whenever they try to bend, they just fall over. A sajda in this world is a gift from Allah. And if He allows you to do a sajda, it's because He loves you. And all we want is Allah's love. All we want is Allah's love. Wa'adim shukr Allah. Adim, constantly be grateful to Allah. Not when it's going good, not when it's everything's gravy. No, constant shukr. We are the ummah of Muhammad, from the word hamd, because we are people who always praise Allah. We always praise Allah, no matter what the situation is. Waqsur min amalik. Now it's about to get deep. This wasn't deep yet.
وَقْصُرْ مِنْ أَمَلِكَ.
Shorten your hopes. Let me contextualize this. The further ahead you're looking, the less you focus on right now. You get what I'm saying? If you're thinking like way down the line, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, you're not focusing on truly maximizing the potential in this moment. So one of the things the Prophet ﷺ taught over and over again is shorten your expectations. Now, this doesn't mean like, you know, I don't care about 5 years from now. I don't plan, right? I don't invest or nothing. No. But what it's saying is, let me give an example just to make it. The Prophet ﷺ said, when you wake up, don't expect to go to sleep that night. And when you go to sleep, don't expect to wake up the morning. If I get it, why? If I get it, thank you. Amin said, if you get it, alhamdulillah. Wallahi, I led a janazah. I don't say wallahi Allah, but I led a janazah last week of Waleed, right? 2 days before the janazah, Waleed went to sleep, 27. Waleed went to sleep. He didn't wake up in the morning. That's it. Rahimahullah. May Allah give him Jannah to the Firdaus. 27. How old are you? 18. 27, man. Somebody said to me after, one of the brothers here, he said, man, I just realized why we read that dua when we wake up. You know the dua when we wake up? Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'da ma amatana. All praise to Allah who gave us life after we die. And then it made me think, I was like, man, and the dua before we go to sleep. Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. Oh Allah, by your name do I die and your name do I wake up. That's the dua you read before you go to sleep. So the reason I'm saying is the Prophet ﷺ is like, focus on the now. Focus on the now. Maximize the now. As if all you have is the now. Just maximize the now. Okay, this is deep. وَزُرِ الْقُبُورَ بِهَمِّكَ تُذَكِّرُكَ الْمَوْتَ وَجُلْ فِي الْحَشْرِ بِقَلْبِكَ. He says, and visit the graveyard with your thoughts. It will remind you of death. And roam around the day of judgment with your heart. What are you saying? There was a sahabi by the name of Harith. Harith. It's morning time. He's a morning person. Some of us are not morning people, right? The Prophet ﷺ is a morning person too, by the way. Just made it sunnah. He walks past the Prophet ﷺ in the morning time. The Prophet ﷺ says, Ya Haritha, Kayfa Asbahta. How's your morning going, Ya Haritha? Haritha says, Asbahtu mu'minan haqqan. He says, I have woken up this morning a true believer. You're talking to the Prophet ﷺ and you're flexing? No, seriously, there's no disrespect in that statement. But I woke up a true believer. The Prophet ﷺ, he doesn't back down. He goes, فَانْذُرْ مَا تَقُولُ. Better watch out what you're saying. لِكُلِّ قَوْلٍ حَقِيقَةٍ. Every word has a reality. What's the reality of what you're saying? Are y'all following this hadith? Every word has a reality. Tell me the reality. He says, this is what he says. My nafs has given up the dunya. These are his words. My nafs, my inner self, has lost hope in the dunya. I don't care. I spend my nights awake in prayer, in my days fasting. وَكَأَنِّي أَنْظُرْ إِلَى الْأَرْشِ. I can see the throne of God. وَكَأَنِّي أَنْظُرْ إِلَى أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. يتزاوروننا. He goes, and I can see the people of Jannah walking around, meeting each other, dapping each other up. What's going on? How you doing? We made it. Look at these thobes, yo. Yo, bracelets. The Prophet said, you talk about bling. The Prophet said, you're going to have bracelets all the way up to where you do wudu. You know Abu Huraira? He used to do wudu up to here. One of his students saw him one day. He's like, what are you doing? It's just elbows. He's like, dang, you saw me? He's like, I wouldn't have told you this, but the Prophet said, however high you do wudu, you'll have bracelets on the Yawm al-Qiyamah. So I do my wudu all the way up to here, so I got more bling than you on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Like, this was a reality for them. So Haritha's like, I can see the people of Jannah. I can see it. It's real. And then he goes, it's not done. وَكَأَنِّي أَنْظُرْ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ النَّارِ يَتَصَاغُونَ. And he's like, wallahi, I can see the people of hellfire right now screaming in the fire. I can see it. The Prophet ﷺ, he looked at him. He said, يَا حَارِثَ عَرَفْتَ عَرَفْتَ. You got it, bro. You got it. فَلْزَمْ. Hold on now. Hold on. Can I tell you a funny story? Sorry to break the mood. Can I tell you a funny story? So there's this concept of ihsan. Ihsan in Islam means you worship Allah as if you can see Allah, right? You with me? Y'all with me? So I remember I went to my teacher one day and I was like, Sheikh, I've done it. He's like, what? I was like, I prayed as if I could see God. I've reached ihsan. I kid you not. He said no words to me. No word. He didn't look up. He was just like, he just kept reading, like, crazy. Well, look, 3 years later, I'm still a student. Sheikh, you remember that day I said? He's like, yup. Do you remember that day? Because I realized it's not about one moment, one prayer. I can see God. No, this becomes who you are. You get the difference? We can all do it for one prayer, or we could try. You know what I mean? But no, it becomes who you are. So the reason I'm saying this, he says, Arafta, you made it, Haritha, you got it. But guess what? You're still living. Hold on to it now. Why did I bring this hadith up? Because we don't do this. When's the last time? This is going to sound super strange. When the last time you visited your janazah? When's the last time you mentally visited your janazah? Sounds weird, right? I mean, but you see you see what I'm saying? When's the last time you walked through the day of judgment? What are you talking about? What do you mean? When's the last time you walked through hellfire? Jahannam, the punishments that happen. I don't know what he's talking about, man. What is he even? This sounds weird. What do you mean? He says, وَجُلْ فِي الْحَشْرِ بِقَلْبِكَ. Stroll through the day of judgment with your heart. They're calling you. Ya Mikael, son of Mikael, stand up. Millions of people around you. Your mother, your grandmother, grandfather, every person, teachers, students, children, your children. It's your turn. Everybody's looking at you. And now what happens next? Come forward in front of everyone. The Prophet said, you'll be called, and even though people have your name, you'll know it's you. And you'll come forward. And then the Prophet said, then your life will be shown in front of everyone, sa'atin, sa'atin, moment for moment, every moment, everyone's watching everything you did. Fadiha. You know what fadiha means? Humiliation. I can't listen to a recording of myself. You know these talks? Someone turns out like, oh, what did I say? How did I say that? Now my whole day? Record yourself for part of the day, then try to listen to it. Just put a recorder in your pocket. You'll forget about it after a while. And then go back and listen. You'll be like, oh my God, angels.
Stuff for the love.
Stuff, I'm sorry you had to witness that. Because you're like, what did I say all day? What did I do? All of it's being presented. Imam Muhasibi, whose book we're reading, he wrote another book called Tawahum, which he literally starts from the day you die. He goes, you're standing up and you feel the angels coming. They're pulling your soul down from the bottom. And you're saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? But they're pulling, come, come, come. He wrote an entire book describing from the moment you pass away until the moment you enter into Jannah or Jahannam. And he uses tawaham. Imagine now what happens. Imagine now you're sitting in your grave. The angels come. They say, sit up. Come, it's time to talk to you. He walks you through every moment of it. Why am I saying this? A lot of these concepts, Jannah, Jahannam, Yawm al-Qiyamah, they're just words we say. Visit them with your heart. Go there. Be there. Envision it. It'll become a reality for you. It'll become a reality. So what does he say? What time is it? Okay. 5 more minutes or so. Zur al-Qubura bihammik. Go. Allahu Akbar. Go to the graveyard with your thoughts. Listen. One of the Sahaba, he actually died before he could meet the Prophet. He accepted Islam. They were on their way to go and he passed away. He said these words, "Innama antum akhbar." You are nothing but accounts, news. "Fatayyibu akhbarakum." Make sure the news left behind about you is good. What do you want to be said at your eulogy, yo? Oh, my man has stacks, yo. Oh, my man had nice house. Your eulogy, what do you want said about you, Abdullah? Abdurrahman? Umair? What's going to be said about you at the eulogy when everyone stands up and they remember you? What are they going to remember? طَيِّبُ أَخْبَارَكُمْ. Make the account of you beautiful. Man, that sister, man, she was always helping people. Every time I saw her, she was helping. Every time I saw her, you know who I remember, and I strive to be like this family. Back in Annapolis, there was this family. There was a sister. Every Jumu'ah, her house was open for the whole community. Anyone, come and eat. Food was simple. You ain't getting no light. She wasn't going all out, but you left like, alhamdulillah. African sister, where was she from? I'm not sure. Every Friday, everyone in the community knew right after Jummah, and the husband wouldn't even beat her. He'd eat and bounce. But the door was open. Door was literally open. I remember the day she died, man. A sudden death too, just out of nowhere. The brother's like, my wife passed. I was like, what? We just eating her food last week. But the akhbar, the khabar that I have about her, she just used to feed everyone every Jummah. She used to make a lot of rice, a lot of marak, you know, lentils, dal, whatever, every Jummah. Tayyibu akhbarakum. What will people say about you? What will people say about you? That's the question I want to ask you. What will we say at the day you die when we're all standing there and we're talking about you? What will we say? I'm worried what they're going to say about me. I hope you're worried what they're going to say about you. Okay, we're still living. So now let's work for it. Let's work for it. Let's start doing stuff. People will remember these things. And that's why he says, look what he says next. He says, قَالَ أَبُو ذَرٍ. Abu Dhar says, اِعْمَلْ. We're done now. اِعْمَلْ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. Do actions like you see. Do actions like you see Jannah. Do actions like you see Jahannam. It's real. It's there. I see that day. وَعُدْ نَفْسَكَ مِنَ الْمَوْتَى. Consider yourself already gone. You know, there's something called future self think. Let's psychology real quick. Okay. Okay. So there's something called, there was this study done about how we think about our future self. So this study basically said, it's very interesting. that neurologically, when you think about your future self, neurologically is identical to the way you think about another person. I don't know if you get how deep that is. The me for 5 years up the road is some other Mikhail. He'll take care of that. It sounds so silly. But the same way I go, oh, Abdullah will take care of that. It's the same way I go, Mikhail, 5 years from now, he'll take care of that. And one of the tools that we can learn or things we can learn is, no, that's me. That's who I am. So we develop the habit of future self think. It's like write a letter to yourself backwards. Think of you as that same person. So, wa'ud nafsaka fil mawta. Consider yourself already dead. If you look at it, I'm already dead. Now you start acting different. Like, oh, yo, let me give this sadaqa real quick. Okay, let me hold up. I gotta pray. You know what I mean? Like, because I'm already dead, bro. Let me pray real quick. I just got another chance. Like, I got another chance. Last thing, we're done. Wa'alam anna shar la yunsa. Know that the evil you do isn't forgotten. Allah and the people. People don't forget. You know how sometimes it's bad, man. May Allah clean our hearts. You know how sometimes someone did one wrong thing? Who's the sister I beeped at the light? Where's she at? She in here somewhere. I think I beeped at you, right? My bad. So she was at the light and I had to beep, but I was like, I think this is a Muslim. And they're going to see me. So I tried to do the light New York light, like beep, beep. So you know how sometimes, the reason I bring that up is sometimes you remember someone that did something to you, but they forgot about it. She's like, nah, that one day, man, they did wrong. He says, wa'alam anna shar la yunsa. My bad, yo, I wasn't trying to. Wa'alam anna shar la yunsa. Know that evil is never forgotten. It sticks sometimes. If I've ever did wrong to anyone, please forgive me, yo, seriously. Wal khayra la yufna. And good is never forgotten as well. It never ends. The good you do is preserved. That's it. The good you do is preserved. Just think of this moment. It has infinite potential, man. You could preserve it for good eternally, or you could waste it eternally. You'll never get it back. Never, ever get it back. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May Allah make us of people who can mentally visit the grave. May He make us of people who can stand mentally at our own janazah and think, what will the people say about me? May Allah make us of people who only concern ourselves with things that concern us. People that are particular about their mental real estate. May Allah give us the ability to get through the difficulties that we are in right now. May Allah make us people who are grateful in the times of ease and able to smile and be grateful in the times of hardship. May Allah accept our coming together. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.